Feel the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius podcast brought to you by NBA 2K24. It's myself, Mo Moons, here alongside me as always, the three-time NBA champion, BJ Armstrong, which is hopefully a little bit of a less chaotic episode than yesterday's. BJ, how's your day been?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, I had people coming up to me and calling me, going, what was going on with you and Mo last night? So I don't know if that was good or bad.
Listen, shout out to Ian, right? Ian, listener of the show, one of my guys. He messaged me. He said, Mo, you've ruined my morning. I could not breathe with how much I was laughing at you guys on the podcast.
That's what yesterday. I heard. I was like, what happened last night? I was like, all I kept thinking was, I don't know what was going on yesterday. It was, I don't know. But whatever it was good because I got comments from friends and people who thoroughly enjoyed it. So I don't know if we can recreate that.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But what I will do today is I will get the team names right. That'll be a good start.
That's a start.
And the Denver Nuggets, the reigning champions. I almost said the wrong team. Lost at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 106-99. Timberwolves, BJ, what do you say about a series? When does it begin?
Oh, that's all I was thinking. I was like, you know what? We got ourselves a series. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, put your seatbelts on. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a great one. You saw two magnificent performances. I mean, you know, let's start with Mr. Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. Let's put some respect on this young man's name. Now, for him to do that on the road against the defending world champions. Okay, now we have a series. So we know he's capable. Those guys came ready to play Minnesota. They jumped out early.
Yep.
Give Denver credit. They fought back like a champion. They took the hit, fought back, took the lead. And it was, when you say a heavyweight fight, this was, I mean, you just saw great plays back and forth. And that young man, Anthony Edwards, was terrific. Naz Reid, wow.
Big Jelly. Okay.
Big Jelly was special.
Sixth man of the year for a reason.
Yes. And I want to give a shout out to someone who had 0 points, but I love this effort. McDaniels.
Absolutely.
I always emphasize this with young players. Don't allow your offense to dictate whether you play good or bad. I thought he was terrific. What he did defensively. I mean, they kept Jamal Murray 0 points at the half. Okay, I know he ended up with like 16 or 17.
He always starts slow, though, to be fair to Jamal.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Jamal, the fact that you're able to just keep a dynamic score like that, I don't care.
Yeah, and the difference between him finishing with 17 points and the difference between him finishing with 25 points, 30 points, it may be the difference in a win and a loss. And we saw that. But so, Anthony Edwards, BJ, players 22 or younger to have back-to-back 40-point games in the playoffs, Anthony Edwards and Kobe Bryant. And I wanted to get your opinion on this. With the exception of the great Kobe Bryant, have you ever seen a player in the NBA come this close to playing like Michael Jordan?
Well, you know, I'm going to take a different route here because I always like to see people, players in particular, what we're talking about now, be the best version of themselves. I don't like to compare, say this person reminds me. I think that's just lazy. Anthony Edwards is dynamic. Now, what I love about him more than anything, very rarely, Mo, do you see this. You see people start a fight, but very rarely can you see or you'll witness someone who can finish a fight.
Now we talk about Drake. Are we talking about Drake?
That's another conversation. This young man, Anthony Edwards. He's a finisher. He understands the assignment. He did not let up. I love the fact how he set the tone. He set the table for everyone else to participate during the middle of the game. And then in the fourth quarter, Mo, he finished it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No matter what Denver threw at him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Mo, like, now, what I will say is, he has a knack for really understanding what needs to be done at a particular moment during the course of the game. And he delivers. Now, he, you know, some players just have it. He shows up at the most critical moments of the game. He doesn't take the shot. He searches it. He understands what's asked of him, not only on the offensive end, he understands what he needs to do on the defensive end. And wherever he needs to be, he'll guard Jamal Murray. He'll guard Michael Porter Jr. He'll guard Jokic. He'll guard every.
He'll guard you, Mo.
He'll guard you if he needs to. He will do whatever is necessary.
It also doesn't matter who's guarding him. They start off with KCP. They went with Aaron Gordon. It doesn't matter. They throw two at him when he's on the ball. He moves the ball, relocates, gets it back. It doesn't matter.
And you know, I was watching him tonight. You could tell a guy who just has a game and he just plays off of his raw ability. He attacks Aaron Gordon different than he attacks Jamal Murray, who attacks Michael Porter Jr. He attacks Caldwell Pope. He attacks you, and he understands what he is capable of doing against every player that switches off on him. And the most beautiful thing about this young man's game, which is very hard to do, he is a willing passer out of the double team. Now,
his passing is massively improved.
Now, listen, what is he? 22. Now, I'm going to say this about him, and I want to say this because it's not very rare. It's very rarely that I can say I see something that's evolved. At the same age, he's better at that part of the game than the people that you just mentioned. And that, to me, is the scariest part of his game. He is a willing passer. I think those other guys learned what they had to do because they were just such dynamic offensive players. He willingly will accept the double team and make the right play. That's very, very, very hard to do, Mo. It's like sometimes you'll find a guy who will pass the ball, but he doesn't know how to accept a double team. He understands that part of the game. Like, to me, he's like elite as a guard. It's not like he's a 7-footer like Shaq. He can see over the defense. He understands how to drag people out, get them out of position, and the other guys can have the space to operate. So I give him credit. I don't want to be lazy and say he reminds me of such and such. But what I will say, at 22 years of age, I don't know how many players have been this comfortable being the number one guy and doing the right thing as far as passing and incorporating the other guys on the floor. That, to me, is what makes him a fascinating player. Now, the next step is he's got to win, put together a string of, you know, whatever he's supposed to do. But he was simply sensational, and I loved his ability to finish the game and what he did for his team. So I'm fascinated by this. And he did this against
the reigning champs, finals MVP. What jumped out to me, even more so than his offense, because I'm just a nerd who loves defense. you know, like, score. Okay, I'm watching the defense, BJ. I'm really watching the deep, because there's a lot of guys in the NBA who can score, but there's not a lot of guys who can guard. And there's not a lot of guys who are what we would call top 5, top 10 offensive players that you would also say are great defenders. There's not many of them in the NBA. Anthony Edwards was living in Jamal Murray's jersey every time he guarded him. The perimeter defense of the Timberwolves, McDaniels and Anthony Edwards leading that challenge. And then Rudy Gobert on the back line, blowing up everything. So they started with Cat guarding Jokic and Gobert sagging off Aaron Gordon, able to give some help. And then there was possessions where Gobert would guard Jokic, and Gobert was just blowing up so many of the actions. You know, that little 4-5 lob that destroyed the Lakers, the 5-4 lob by Jokic.
Well, you put Aaron Gordon in the dunker spot, he's an elite athlete, so you can play over the top. Mm. It was very hard to play over the top of Rudy Gobert. So I give the coaching staff credit of saying, we know we can take away or challenge something.
Yep, and there's possessions where Jokic gets past Rudy Gobert, And he's met with Karl-Anthony Towns, so it's another seven-footer. And then Naz Reid comes off the bench, and he's picking up Jokic even higher up the court. And it looked like the, one of the first times I've seen a team, I think Kenny Smith said this after the game, this is one of the first times I've seen a team speed up Nikola Jokic. They were playing, he was having to be playing at a tempo which was quicker than the pace that he usually plays at. And this is my concern for Denver now in this series, because off the bench, it's not huge numbers, but Reggie Jackson and Justin Holiday, Christian Brown, they played great off the bench, especially getting back into the game in that first half. Those guys notoriously have struggled, but they did a really good job getting back into the game. Jokic obviously did his thing with 32, 8, and 9 with three steals to go with it. And Michael Porter Jr. was key for them, scoring 20 points, 4 of 7 from downtown. But KCP only had 6. Aaron Gordon had 9. And that's a worry for me with Denver is, are you going to be able to get Jamal Murray going? Is he going to be able to deliver a big game in this series? And when Reggie Jackson was cooking early on, I said, well, he had a couple buckets in a row. I said, the Denver Nuggets have to win this game because he doesn't do this every time he steps out there on the court. And conversely, for the Timberwolves, Jaden McDaniels had 0. Rudy Gobert had 6. And it's not often you see two starters combined for just 6 points. Obviously, Ant-Man had 43. Cat had 20, and then Mike Conley had 14, Naz Reid 16 off the bench, Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 5, and Kyle Anderson got himself a bucket as well. But they've stolen it now on the road already. They could go and steal game 2 on the road as well. Like, I don't think that's out of question. And they did this all with their head coach sitting down on the sidelines because he couldn't even stand up and coach them. One thing that stood out to me is, in the third quarter, Denver win the bonus with like 6 minutes left. And I feel like they could have capitalized on that a little bit more in terms of getting to the free throw line and kind of slowing their game down and doing what they want to do. But credit to the Wolves, man. They had a fantastic game.
Yeah, it did. You know, all the praise should go to the Wolves, what they were able to do. And I mean, I think you were right on, Mo. They gave Jokic a different look, and they don't have, there's 1 7-footer, but those are two really big men, talking about as far as length. They're not, you know, they're not like wide, maybe as strong as Jokic, but that's a lot of length out there. And then you put Naz Reid, who may be a better athlete in some ways than those guys. Okay. And he's what, 6'10", 6'11"?
He's not a 7 foot though, like,
but he plays big. Okay.
Yep, he's athletic.
He's very athletic. So I think they will probably they'll figure it out. Jokic will figure it out. But you could tell that he wasn't as comfortable. And he went to what I would say playing bully ball a little bit, probably more than I've seen him. Because, you know, normally you'll see him do a lot of finesse things and, you know, he mixes it up, but he had to be very careful to make sure that he created space. And more than any time that I've seen him play in the playoffs where he was looking to score other than facilitate. Okay. So that's why I want to give Minnesota credit, is because they were forcing him and taking away something from him. And you don't see that often with Jokic. He dictates everything, especially on the offensive end.
Well, Jokic was asked after the game how he can be more impactful against the Wolves' three big men. And he said, I need to duplicate a clone of myself.
You could tell that the size and length of the Timberwolves, you know, you can't say you bother. I mean, what did he have today?
Jokic finished with 32 points. It's 11 of 25 from field, 2 of 9 from 3, though. A strangely inefficient shooting night from Jokic. And he didn't look like he wanted to take those threes. They were kind of like, you know, he had to take them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He just didn't dominate. He couldn't dominate like he normally does.
Yeah, 32, 8, two, and 9 eight, with 3 steals. And he's saying he didn't dominate. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But for him, by his standards. So, you know, this is going to be interesting. Now, they're going to need Jamal Murray. Clearly, they're going to need Jamal Murray. You know, you have 17. But Mike Conley, I mean, he did a really nice job today. He made some big shots, 14 points, 10 assists.
Really steadies the ship for them.
Oh yeah, he does a great job here, and you know he's an impactful player. So great effort. It's one game. You don't want to get too high, but I must admit that was a game where, you know, the stars came out, and you know Anthony Edwards was shining the brightest tonight. But we'll see what happens in game two. But what a great start for the Timberwolves. They should be feeling good about themselves to midnight, and then let's get back in the film room and figure out what how they can adjust to the adjustments that's going to be made on the other side of the court.
If you are the Nuggets, what's the adjustments that you would make for the next game?
Well, two things. One, the health of Jamal Murray, right? And I'm going to give him credit. He's not making any excuses, but clearly something, he doesn't look like he's moving well to me. Okay. He
No.
just doesn't look like he's moving like his, you know, you could tell when a guy has a little pep or, you know, a little extra something in his step. He doesn't look fully, you know, 100%. And you got to do something. You got to get Aaron Gordon away from the basket. He's got to pull Rudy Gobert. Because Rudy Gobert was disruptive, right? He was
Yeah, but
disruptive
Aaron Gordon
to
is
the
gonna
passing.
not shoot those threes, and if he does, he's not gonna
Well,
make
that's what I'm
those
saying. You got
threes.
to have to do something with Aaron Gordon. You start him at the 3-point line to get Rudy Gobert
Use him
because
more as a
Rudy
screener at the
Gobert,
top, maybe go to
yeah.
more
Now,
screen roll using one of the, you know, Aaron Gordon.
what I really liked about the game was when you double team Jokic. He normally can see over the top of the guy who's double teaming him because it's very rarely do you see a team that plays with 2 7-footers. Rudy Gobert, that's a lot of length to pass the ball over. So the one thing that I did notice about the game today, Jokic normally throws like, you know, I mean, we had a term in Chicago, we call it ping passes. Get the pass there fast, right? The ball moves faster than the rotation. A lot of the passes today were lob passes because he had to get it over Rudy
And those
Gobert.
Timberwolves rotations move quick as well.
Yes, because of the lob passes. So again, it's little things like that that can disrupt the flow. And that's what to me, Jokic wasn't able to dictate and dominate the passing like he normally does. He gets 32 points, but you know, he just dominates and gets the ball. He had to step off of his normal or traditional areas on the floor that he operates from because of the length. So I think Coach Malone and those guys are excellent at what they do. They've seen every double team. They will figure out a way to exploit that or
Yeah,
take
the
Rudy
offense wasn't
Gobert.
moving as fluidly as I would usually expect it.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
they're gonna have to find a way to
yeah.
get more movement in it.
Yeah, and you got to get Rudy, you got to give Jokic just a second or two. Before Rudy, because Rudy was coming off of the dunker spot, and then they were rotating, and he couldn't just lob it over the top like he was doing against the Lakers. So we'll see how it plays out. But it was a good game plan, I thought.
Rudy only scored 3 buckets in this one. But he hit one bucket, and when he scored this bucket, I said the Timberwolves are winning the series. I seen Rudy Gobert bank in a mid-range jump shot.
You know, Rudy has figured it out. Their coaching staff has figured out and give those guys credit for figuring out how to get Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert to
To play
function.
together, yeah.
And then this Naz Reid, when he comes in, it's a totally different look. And he adds his own spin on the Twin Tower situation. So I love what they're doing. And normally you'll see that, you know, because Michael Porter Jr. he's a 7-footer. Let's just, you know, he's a 7-footer at the small forward position. But this kid, what, Jaden McDaniels, he's every bit of 6'9" or so. Then you have Naz Reid, Cat Towns. So these are some big men.
Yeah, it's ironic. A lot of teams, they see a big team. They see like Denver, for example, who've got a dominant big, and they want to go small. They want to go five out. Like the Lakers wanted to go five out, play three guard lineups. Timberwolves said, nah, we're going big in this one.
We're going big, so I like it. But again, you know, these guys are the world champions, and you're not going to just, they're not going to pressure, they're not going to panic. They're going to make adjustments. I expect them to get game two. Now I expect them to get game two. And then let's see what happens there. Can they hold serve when you get back home? But this has the makings more of a really magnificent series. I really like what I saw. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think you know, the philosophies clearly are different. The players are great. You have phenomenal. I think the coaching was terrific. I really enjoyed the game, and it was a nail biter all the way to the end. So
Game two is on Monday night. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Game two is on Monday night. Before that, we have the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers in game seven. We spoke about that yesterday. Have you changed your mind, or are you still rocking with the Magic on the road?
Well, you know, Mo, I'm going to say this. This is why you play in the regular season to get home court. Now, I'm just going to stick with my principle, which is Cleveland is going to win the game.
I want to ask you
However, I'm rooting for the Orlando Magic. Okay. But and the reason I'm rooting for them is because
you want to hear the song team, on TikTok.
Yes, I want to hear the song. I want to hear you. I want to hear you go crazy tomorrow.
Yes.
But I'm sensing that they feel they can win this game.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you this. Now, after the first two games where the Cleveland Cavaliers handled business pretty easily,
right?
The mentality, I heard Paolo talking today, and he said, we knew after the first two games, if we want to win this series, it will be in seven games. Whereas the Cavs, after those first two games, they probably thought they were on for a sweep. So do you think mentally the Magic are better prepared for a game seven than the Cleveland Cavaliers are in the way that the matchups have gone?
Well, Mo, you know, I like to stick to the principles of what a championship caliber team thinks like. Anytime a series starts, Mo, a champion understands it's going seven. I'm prepared to do whatever I need to do to advance. Now, I don't know if that was the mentality of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They certainly are playing like, they certainly played like that was their mentality. Like, oh, we won the first two games easy. This will be over. And if Paolo said that, and that was their mentality, to me, that was the right approach to the series. I think this team has a chance to win game seven. I think they have the momentum. I think they have the confidence. And the team that you saw in game one and two, that's not the team that you're seeing right now. And they're playing to win now. I mean, Mo, when you can go back and you can get a game six on your home court, that's not an accident now. Mm-hmm. You know? So they were going back home like, okay, we're coming back.
The home team is held serve every time in this series so far. Mm-hmm. However, we'll see what happens in game seven. And I don't know if Gary Harris will be back healthy to be in that lineup as he wasn't there for the last game. But BJ, I'm rolling with the Magic. And I'm rolling with the Magic because the Cleveland Cavaliers ducked the two seed because they didn't want to see the Sixers or the Heat. So they lost the final game of the season on purpose. And I don't believe that karma will reward them for that. Whereas the Knicks were not afraid of the two seed and they're comfortably sitting in the next round waiting to take on the Indiana Pacers. So I'm believing in that. It's a mentality thing.
Yes.
The Magic,
yes.
They're here for it. The Cavs were ducking smoke. Let's see if they can duck it in game seven.
Well, I agree. So I like I said, I'm rooting for the Magic just because I see that this team believes. I don't think Cleveland is playing well. I don't think they're confident. You know, I'm not rooting like a fan, like I'm rooting against the team. I just, when I say I'm rooting for them, this team believes. And I see the momentum in their locker room. Mo, they had a chance to win game five. You know what I mean? Like
they did indeed.
And you keep knocking at, you know, you keep knocking at the door. Well, I think eventually a door is going to open. And they won game six and they withstood a 50-point effort from Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. They withstood a 50-point effort and still won. So I like it. I just think the Magic have, I think they have big momentum now rolling down the hill. And I think, you know, I could easily see this team winning by double digits. And that's crazy to say. That's crazy to say.
But game seven, that's very crazy.
Or game seven, yeah, that's crazy to say. But you know what? It just seems like something could happen for this team because they're so young. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know that they're playing in the game seven. They're like, oh yeah, game seven. This is like a first time for them. They don't realize.
They're playing with house money.
Yes. Yes, they are. There you go, Mo.
They're playing with house money. Yeah. yeah, that's that. I'm looking forward to it. A nice early tip off. Unfortunately, I don't think we will be able to do a watch along because of schedules and whatnot. However, we should get one in the playoffs. There'll be more opportunities to do more watch along. Yes, so don't worry, stay tuned. BJ, did you enjoy Star Wars today?
Did I tell you that?
You said it on the show. Yeah. You told the whole world.
Oh, yeah, I did. Okay. Yes, I enjoyed it. I enjoy Star Wars. I went with my youngest son, little father, son, and it was great. Well, it was great. We sat there, we watched Darth Maul, we saw Anakin Skywalker, we saw, oh, it was just beautiful. It was beautiful, Maul. It was, everyone in the theater clapped and cheered after the movie was over. And we were right there, you know, all the, you know, people were dressed up in their costumes. It was outstanding. I should have taken a photo. We had our Star Wars stuff on. It was great, Bo. It was great. It was great.
That's wholesome.
You know what? We had one seat open too. It was right. It was for Mo. We saved the seat for Mo.
Don't worry. Soon. Soon. First, I'm going to need to use the Force to survive the rest of these playoffs. You know what I'm saying? I need some of those Jedi mind tricks, these late nights. Even today, I was like, yeah, there's only one game on today. It starts at midnight. We'll be done at 2:30. Podcast done at 3. I'll get an early night, which is like 4 a.m.
Yes.
And BJ that's texts my fault, me. Bro. I got to run. I'll be back in a few hours. Here well, I am, I, 6 a.m. Hey, but I'm not well, mad. We found no, a way no. to get it done.
We found a way. I would have, if it was up to me, Mo, which is never up to me. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey. When the boss speaks, I got to take the order. So the boss said we're going out to dinner. The boss said it's a family time. You did the kid stuff earlier. Now it's my time. I said, well, I got a tape with Mo. She said, Mo's a good friend. He'll understand. I said, yeah. So, Mo, I thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, I had a great evening. I did watch the game, and then I was playing some Top Spin 2K25, which is a new tennis game from 2K who make the NBA game that sponsored us. And it's unbelievable. BJ, I used to be huge on tennis. I used to play a lot of tennis.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I'm huge on it. And the game is very addictive. So that's how I spent my wild Saturday night.
Shout out to 2K.
Every time, you know, each and every time. But until tomorrow, BJ, I'm looking forward to it. Nice early game, hopefully early podcast, early night maybe. Potentially.
No, it's hopeful. We're gonna get that done. I'm gonna talk to the boss this evening, and
Good luck in that meeting. That's all I can say. Just, you know, make sure human resources are on your side.
That's pretty funny. That was really
good. Well, if you guys enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. We'll be back tomorrow with another one breaking down the best two words in sports. Game 7 right here on the best podcast in sports, the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. Don't miss an episode, and most importantly, until next time, get buckets.